On the line right now, I've got Philip James Rouse, who's the writer-director of Night Slows Down, which is on at the King's Cross Theatre. Philip, give us a bit of a rundown on this rather apocryphal tale.
Absolutely. So the play follows Sharon. She's a civil engineer. And her husband, Martin, who is a Lebanese-Australian, and her brother, estranged brother, Seth, who has, in the years that they have been estranged, gone very far down the alt-right and far-right racist path. And basically, the government or type of governing body that Seth believes in has gotten into power. Sharon's husband is separated from her. He's detained on dubious grounds of visa problems. And then the government basically, and Seth in particular, uses Martin to blackmail Sharon into using her expertise to work for them. So that's the short version of the plot without giving away sort of where it all ends up.
Wow, it sounds like something that could have been going on in, 1937 East Berlin or something,
Yeah, absolutely.
it's got those nasty tinges to it. So Seth obviously doesn't care too much for his sister at all anyway.
Well, this is an interesting psychological thing that I'm playing with, is about the idea of having somewhere to belong, and that Seth lacked a sense of belonging from his family due to many reasons that are not, that always hinted at but never explicitly said in the piece. But actually, he it's the inversion of that. He actually quite loves her, and it unfortunately comes out in this very, very twisted manner. And that's been a really interesting thing to explore and figure out with actor Andre Devaney, who plays Seth.
Is there any sort of feeling of responsibility for anybody else for the way that the government, change of government's turned out? Is there a sense that people could have been a bit more engaged?
From the so the way the play is structured is in a series of there's the forward moving plot through all of those things that I just described, but there's also a series of reverse chronological flashbacks, and it shows just little moments where concerns were ignored or something happened, but the people decided to not do anything about it at that time, and so it becomes this interesting snowball effect for the audience as they piece together the entire story, as they figure out that, there were plenty of times when something could have been done and something maybe wasn't done for either just the sake of being polite to somebody you don't know very well, or for self-preservation, or for, many other familial reasons.
Yeah, because people get a bit sort of wrapped up in their own little worlds, and they mightn't want something to happen, and they think because they don't want it to happen, it just won't. I remember after the election, there was all these people demonstrating. Yet I think in some of those states they were demonstrating in, the turnout was quite low. So you think, if you'd have got out and turned out and voted, maybe it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So. there can be that thing of like how the responsibilities of engaging in the democracy you are a part of. Mm. It benefits oppressors to not turn out to your own democracy. It's very rarely the Democrats in the United States, for instance, that are trying to suppress voters or try to ensure low voter turnout. Yeah. It's nearly always the Republicans.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, do you feel that people are getting a little bit more aware politically nowadays?
Yes and no. I think people are more politically engaged, but you have to remember that being more politically engaged spans a broader spectrum as well. It's not just there are more left-wing people in this country. I think there are as many, if not a growing number, of people that hold reactionary political views. As they grow, so do the growth in the left. So what you see is people are more politically aware, but it also the political debates become more heated and more personal. So that's an interesting thing that I think we would traditionally look to our political leaders to help manage. But at the moment, they play those politics as much as everyone else.
And I suppose what you're saying in the play is that it doesn't get much more personal than your own family, does it?
No, absolutely not.
So
things like class and things like opportunities given to different brothers and different parts of the family, what it means to feel betrayed by a brother or a sister is very different to being betrayed by a friend. And the ongoing need to find a way to repair that, even in the face of obvious reasons not to.
Is Seth a friend of Martin's at the beginning or not?
Yeah, the first thing we see one scene of them, and they seem to be getting along famously until Martin tells Seth that he wants to marry Sharon. And then very, very suddenly we see this other side of him that we've seen for the rest of the play, but in this moment, Martin would have not known that about him. And so that's an interesting thing about, because for me, it's interesting with Seth as well, thinking about something that really fascinated me in this, in watching, say, the election last year and the sort of flow-on effects from that, is being more fascinated by, say, white-collar racists than being particularly interested in, you know, we already have Romper Stomper, that already exists, American History X already exists. Those kind of skinhead groups don't really, they're endlessly fascinating, but that wasn't what I wanted to talk about. I was much more interested in talking about university-educated people that still hold those beliefs, people that, you know, are doctors on the North Shore of Sydney who hold those beliefs, because those their position of privilege in the world means that those beliefs have a level of power, and because of the aesthetics of their life, they wear nice suits, they drive nice cars, that those beliefs gain the level of respectability automatically, and which can be incredibly dangerous.
Yes, and that's probably a reason why the Doctors on the North Shore should come across to
King's
Cross,
to King's Cross Theatre,
and see your play, Philip James Rouse, which is Night Slows Down, because it's on now, isn't it? It's already started.
Yeah, we're on until next Saturday, December 9th.
Yeah, so they should get along and just see, you know, what's like on the other side of the harbour. Maybe that's what they should do. See what things are like on the other side, how the other half lives and loves. So thanks for being on the show, Philip. And I think people should get along to see this. It sounds like a very interesting tale of people and politics.
Thank you so much.